If I reminded you that you are perfect, would you argue me down or step into your perfection? Welcome to perfect mode, where there are no excuses, no expectations, and we explore the world without limitations. I'm Jay Clay, rapper, the spiritual teacher, with my co-host Troy Washington, your friendly neighborhood realtor. Let's be real. So let's be perfect.
Yo, what up? Welcome to Perfect Mode. First off, let me start by saying we love y'all. We're grateful for the opportunity to be anywhere sharing our thoughts, hopefully helping you realize that you are perfect. And the reason why I can say that unapologetically is because I know that you are one of one, numero uno. You cannot be replicated, duplicated, however you want to say it. You are you. And the only reason that you think that you're not perfect is if you're looking at this person next to you and saying, I'm not them. But guess what? You are you, and that's all you need. And of course, it's yours truly, Troy Washington, your friendly neighborhood realtor. And I have my boy Jay Clay, spiritual rapper and teacher. And we're about to get on here and talk about expanding what you think is possible. Expanding what you think is possible. What up, Jay?
What up, what up? Happy day. Happy perfect day to all my people in perfect land doing the perfect thing, always at the perfect place at the perfect time. Appreciate y'all joining us on this day. And yeah, man, I want to start off by saying, again, this is an open forum. So if you ever got wisdom to share with the crowd, we're going to read it to the people, share it out there. And don't forget, we do our water fast every Monday. So starting tomorrow or 24 hours from when you last ate today, just water fast with us. Join us. We got a community that you can join, get updates and track everything. And shout out to our Patreons. You know, if you like what we're doing, click on that Patreon link and join. Shout out to Jeff. And shout out to everybody that's coming through. So yeah, Troy,
shout out to Jeff, man. Yeah, but go ahead. What'd you say, bro?
Yeah, let's talk about it. Expanding what you think is possible.
Yeah. So number one, since you actually just brought up the fast, I just want to let everybody know that it is possible, fam. Like, I literally was looking forward to it all week, and I was looking forward to today. So stop telling yourself that you can't do it. Stop telling yourself that you can't go a day without eating. You know, expand what you think is possible. But, you know, to the point of this topic, man, I love it. And I think this was kind of a reoccurring theme for my life this week, because I continue to look at limits that I have placed on myself. And it's a lot of it's coming from or stemming from things that I'm reading, things that I'm seeing, and the way that I feel like people are acting, at least my interpretation of it. Yeah. And I told myself, you know, funny enough, like over the past couple of days, it's time to expand myself and allow myself to be more than what I see myself as. But go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I love that. And similarly, like, everything we want is really right here. We hear that all the time. We say it all the time. We believe it on some level, and sometimes we don't believe it on certain levels. And put it like this. Have you ever been working on something, or, you know, trying hard for something, and then it just didn't go out as planned, and you didn't give up, but you put it to the side. Then all of a sudden, some stuff just happened that you had nothing to do with that got you everything that you wanted and more. It's kind of like that. It's like, because me thinking what is possible, I'm limiting myself. I'm limiting what can come from it, when in actuality, anything can happen at any time if I allow that as well.
You know, so number one, to answer your question, yes, that's happened to me a lot, I feel like, in my life, when I just try to recall things that I've experienced. But the other part to this that I feel like as well is that's the reason why in my line of business, which is real estate, and I can say that as far as with music and all the other different things that we've done, allowing allowing yourself to hear other people, allowing yourself to digest what people are saying, not necessarily believe everything. But the reason why I point that out is because there have been a number of occasions where I had a limiting belief or a limit that I had placed on myself, and somebody said something, and it wasn't necessarily to help me expand myself, but it was just a key word that they may have said in the conversation. And I was just like, ah, I didn't even think about that. And it generally causes me to reset and kind of revisualize what I saw in the beginning anyway, even though that is sometimes limited as well. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that you brought that up too, like listening to people, because there have been times, you know, I listen to people speaking or something and I might yell, "That's not true," or say, "Nah, that's not true." But again, to them it is. And the better question is, can their truth serve you in any way? Like, does it bring you closer to what you want, or it doesn't? If it doesn't, that's cool. You don't have to pronounce or denounce it, because by denouncing their truth, in a sense, you're allowing your truth to be denounced as well. Just let it be their truth and just say, "Oh, this doesn't serve me." But if it does in some way, like, listen and see if you can apply that same logic and reasoning and truth to your own life.
So I want to give you maybe like what I would consider a real life example without me exposing too much of people, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm a real estate broker, and there's no two deals that are alike in real estate. Everything is generally different. And it's easy to, depending on how much real estate that you've done, it's easy to go into deals kind of pessimistic if they kind of start off to a rocky start. And so a lot of times in real estate deals, when I first start, I kind of have to meditate on it before I get really into the deal, because I understand the dynamic by which something started has already programmed me into believing it's going to turn out a certain way. And so along the way, in some deals, specifically a deal that I'm working now, there was a whole bunch of hurdles that kind of dropped into a deal. And so the very first thing that I thought to myself was, this is not going to work. Now, I do not like that thought process myself. So it's, I recognize it fast, right? When I first think these things, I'd be like, And so now there is a internal battle that I continuously have trying to make myself see outside of the boundary that I set. Now, this is the beautiful part about it, right? And me saying something's not going to work out, me challenging myself and saying, no, something's going to come up, allowed me to be open to words that other people said, which is the example that I just gave. Yeah. And so I opened myself up to say, how can this happen? How can this be worked out? How can this be fixed? And talking to my client set a set of parameters around that I didn't even realize that I had. He was like, "Well, young fella, look at this. This is what I'm working with. And nothing is an end all be all for me." So when he said that, it allowed my mind to be more creative. It allowed me to be like, "Oh, okay, cool." And so he said, "Now, with what I've given you, go ahead and be creative and create what you feel like is going to work." Now, the funny thing about it is now the deal is on, because I was able to come up with what I felt like was a solution that wasn't even a solution in my head based off of what he told me. And, you know, I use real estate as an example, but this has happened many times over in a lot of situations where I didn't have the answer, but my answer was, the only answers that I had were set within the boundary that I had set for myself, and I didn't allow myself to think outside of that. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, so, well, quick question, because I don't want to gloss over what you said, because I feel like that might be the most important thing. You said you allow yourself to meditate on it. Like, is that before? Is it during? Like, is it when you catch yourself? And what does that entail, like, when you meditate on it?
So it's really along the entire process. Again, that's the one thing. So number one, I do think that is a very, very, very important aspect of it. But I think the most important aspect of it, for myself at least, is I'm able to recognize it right when it happens. So as soon as I try to inflict a wound on myself, I immediately try to grab whatever I'm trying to inflict the wound with. So, like, you know, just again, just using a deal as an example, if somebody comes to me and says, "This person's financing is not going to work," the very first thing that you would think as a real estate broker or a realtor is this deal is going to fall apart because they can't get the money, right? So when I tell myself this deal is going to fall apart because they can't get the money, I immediately say, how do I know that they can't get the money? Just because there's only one way that we've looked at. So now it in turn says, okay, quit ending the deal before it's ended. It's not over yet. And so once I identify what I'm doing to myself, I go into my meditation and I try to, number one, dispel, because even with me identifying, it doesn't mean that I rid myself of it immediately, because I'm still combating with that. So I have to meditate on what I feel like is the truth. The deal is not over. There's other ways. The deal is not over. There's other ways. All the while in the back of my head, I still hear this deal is over. And so I kind of meditate on the things that I want more than the other to kind of offset it. So that way I can allow myself, because if I don't meditate on it, I don't even allow myself to hear what's coming next. But go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. So, okay. Just to re-clarify, it sounds like what you're saying is the underlining belief is still there to a certain degree, but you won't allow yourself to look at it. Like you're creating stimuli and reminders to focus only on the new belief that you want to have. And in doing that, like if you could guess when you honestly do it, like, is it 100% success rate? Is it 50%? Like, is it tough? Cause I know you do a lot of real estate deals. So I figure it's easier to ask in that lane than just general.
I would tell you this, 100% of the time when I've given up, it was over. I know that for a fact. It's just for a fact. When it was over, I gave up on it. And so I want to say 100% of the time when I haven't given up that I've been able to get it through, because that's a truth. That's the truth. Everything that I got to the end, I believed I would get there. And so there have been times when I've been in the middle and I've decided to believe and I was able to get to the finish line. And this has happened on multiple occasions. So I dislike the fact when I cannot, when I allow the other voice to be louder in my head than the voice that I'm trying to listen to. And the way that I think about it is, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, go ahead. I remember.
Okay. I think about it like when you're a kid, right? And you're having a battle with a sibling or a cousin or something, and they trying to tell you something that you don't want to hear. And they're as adamant about telling you what you don't want to hear as you not want to listen. And you do something like this, la, 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 la. You be doing everything to try to block them out, but they still talking. And so that's kind of how I think about it. Go ahead, Jay.
So, okay, yeah. So the question I wanted to ask before we move away from this example is, like, what's your attitude towards it? Is it a joyful one? Is it mediocre? Is it dreadful? You know what I'm trying to ask? Like when you're faced with this challenge, and at first you don't think it could be done, but then you open your mind. Like, is it excitement there, or is it just curiosity, or like, what is it?
So I'm gonna answer this two ways. The first thing is there's love there. The reason why I say there's love there is because I love for myself when I allow myself an out in a way that I envision it. So I'm always full of joy. You know, it's not like I'm excited, I'm jumping around happy, but I'm proud of myself. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, you didn't allow what you saw on the surface to dictate your actions. But on the flip side of it, I think that the love, and I didn't want to say this word, but I'm going to say it now just so that way you can understand why I think the way that I think. I hate when I allow what I hear first to dictate my actions. I hate it. So whenever I'm able to, and this is only when I hear something that's going to dictate my actions in a way that's adverse to what I believe. Because things happen, like every deal that I go into, I believe I'm going to help someone get a home, or I believe I'm going to create the song that somebody wants. And so whenever something presents itself to me that says that's going to happen, I'm in love. Whenever something comes along that says that I'm not going to do it, I hate it. And I hate it that I allow that to infiltrate my mentality. So when I'm able to stop, identify it, and then think otherwise, even though I still hear it flowing in the background, I love that about myself. I love the fact that I'm able to offset it. And I'm up for the challenge of going back and forth with myself to win, because I always feel like the one that I'm wanting, the one that I am, the one that I'm trying to listen to the most is the person that I am. And so whenever that wins out, I'm always in love with myself. Go ahead, Jay.
Love it. And of course, the reason I asked that is just, I was thinking about my experiences with similar situations where there's something impossible, or not impossible, but highly improbable. And then I get out of my own way and say, you know what, it's still possible. And then I go for it. Now, if I go for it with a positive attitude, that carries me to a new thought. But if it's a negative attitude, it's more like a burden. Then I start labeling myself as a procrastinator, all these negative things that don't need to be there, instead of just stepping back for a time. And that stepping back could just be for like 5 minutes sometimes. And sometimes it can be for an hour. Sometimes it can be for a day. But when you allow yourself to kind of clear your mind so you can come back at it from a positive viewpoint, it changes everything. Like it changes the momentum. It changes your excitement. Like you said, the love is there. You realize what you love about it. And it just makes it easier for all the ideas to flow.
And two, again, I'm not saying that I live in this space, but that's why I love the thought process of there's no other option when it's what I want. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Whenever we're creating a song, the times when I say this is going to be a tight song no matter what, like it's no other option, I generally make a song that I'm in love with. I'd be happy about it, like in a whole bunch of different ways. Yeah. But then there's sometimes when I hear a beat and I question myself because of the beat. And so I don't even allow myself to be free-minded and say that this is going to be tight no matter what. Then that's when that internal battle happens. But that goes on even once the song is done, where I'm kind of pulled here or pulled there. And so the thought process of no other option, which again, I don't live there and I would love to, is always, you know, best for me, because that's when I'm able to be 100% of myself, I feel like.
And so what was crazy, well, one, I want to apologize. So, because in saying this and having this conversation, I realized the same thing, the intention I set, it brings forth. So like before Perfect Mode, set my mind right, get the intention right. Before like just certain things I set my mind right. Even writing songs, like I agree that makes a difference. But like me and you, we meet usually Monday morning for Perfect Mode, and I don't, you know, just to discuss planning and stuff, I don't always do that before the meeting. And I realized the difference in if I were to and if I wasn't, how the ideas get to flowing. And so that's more of a reminder to myself too, like, why not apply this to everything? Everything you do that you have an intention for, make sure you get your mind right and aligned with that intention before moving forward with it.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a little game too as far as my life concerning outside of everything that we're doing. Even though you are a part of my real estate business, for everybody that don't know, this dude has moved me in different ways when it comes to real estate. That he don't even do real estate, but that's just neither here nor there. But I don't know if you've been listening in the news or you seen anything. I ain't gonna say listen in the news, but you seen anything about the lawsuit that's been happening in the real estate world, where, yeah, so there's this big, I'm not going to go all into it, but there's this big deal that's going on that's supposed to, you know, change the entire real estate world coming in July, June and July. Now, the funny thing about it is, at first thought, I can see how a bunch of realtors are taken aback by it, because it is really a big shift in what's going on and how we do our business. So even so much so that, you know, some of my agents have reached out to me and was like, Troy, you know, what are your thoughts on it? And now the thing is, I go back, I foresaw this coming. So at the time when I started to foresee this coming, I changed my mind back then, right? Now, that doesn't mean that there's not work for me to do in the process of going forward once, you know, everything shifts, but I changed my mind then, and now it's left me open to seeing different avenues or trying to find a different pathway within what we're doing to continue to be successful. Now, with that being said, I understand, like I said, why so many people are taking it aback, because expanding your mind to what you think is possible it's difficult when you have no clue of what the landscape is truly going to look like. And I know it's kind of hard for me to explain what I'm saying, but just to kind of give you an example of how my business works. Generally in a deal, you go into a real estate deal, I work for a seller or I work for a buyer. And then the seller will pay me a commission that I negotiate from the seller. And then of my commission, I will negotiate with the buyer with the buying agent who brings me a buyer that's ready, willing, and able to purchase my property. And I will negotiate how much I will pay them. Well, now that's going to change. So sellers would generally give a certain percentage, around a certain percentage. Now they're just pretty much cutting that out in a sense, right? Now, the reason why I point these little facts out is because when you don't know what the commissions are, it's hard for people to find out where they sit. And that's the reason why I said it's hard when someone doesn't kind of know what the landscape is going to really be yet to imagine something that's not there. And so for myself, because I've been already opening myself up to look and see and don't get caught up by all the negative news that's surfacing around it, to look, you know, at the, you know, the landscape and figure out how can I carve out a niche in it. But go ahead, Jay.
So I want to bring back something you said. Like, it's a lot of directions I want to go, but one of the key things you just said was imagination. And I feel like that's a key in creating, like to see it, like to imagine it. If you can imagine it in your mind, you can create it. And I know that there are a lot of people out there that might not feel they have a great imagination, so that they can't create, but it's not true. And the reason I know that is because sometimes people imagine the worst case scenario. It's just that we've been primed. Well, I don't want to say everybody, but it seemed like, from my perspective, that generally we've been primed to look at the worst case scenario, to be prepared for the worst. So we're always imagining the worst, but what can go wrong, instead of what can go right? How can I be prepared if this goes right? How can I make this go even righter when it does go right? And it's a flip, it's a switch. So like, in that scenario that you said, things were changing. It's going to change the landscape, so people won't know how much commissions they're getting. But you were like, wait a minute, what's the good in this? What happens if this does go right? What does this mean for me? And by allowing yourself that, in a sense, you're expanding what you think is possible, because who cares about the worst? When the worst happens anyway, if it does happen, then cool. You don't want to focus on that, you know, but when the best does happen, when what you want, when all of your momentum is going toward it, you're able to just ride that wave of creativity in the life that you want.
So a couple things I want to mention. Shout out to both my boys, TJ and Brody. I got a 12-year-old and a 6-year-old. And the only reason I bring them up is just because you just touched on imagination. And funny enough, this morning I got up. My wife is out of town right now, so it's just me and the boys. So this morning I got up and I fixed them breakfast. And while I was fixing breakfast, Brody was like, "Dad, man, let me tell you about my dream, man." So I was like, okay, cool. So he told me about his dream. He's like, "Man, I was playing basketball, and then I passed it to McCray, and then he shot it, then he missed it, then I got it, and then I did the layup, and then it went off the rim, but I got it, and I made it, and we won the game," right? So he tells me this story. Yeah. And literally this morning when I was talking to him, I was like, "Man, I like that." I said, "You do know that everything that you dream, you can make true, especially if it's something that you want." And, you know, that just came to my head because that was literally a conversation this morning. But back to your point that you were making about, you know, people that think that they don't have an imagination, is not true. But the other part I want to expound on, you said we always think about the negative. I want to say that we always think about the positive and negative, but we only recognize or highlight the negative. And the reason why I say that is because we imagine everything we do before we do it. I mean, literally every single thing. When you say I'm thirsty, you have a picture of your mind going to go get your water or whatever you drink. You also have an imagination of how good. Like, I've heard people say when they get their food, "This is going to be so good." How do you know it's going to be so good? Because you've already imagined yourself eating it and what it's going to taste like and how it's going to smell. And so you are professionals at imagining things. You are professionals at seeing things before they happen. Like, we do it all day. Even when it comes to planning your day for tomorrow, like when you go to sleep tomorrow, my wife does it all the time. I've heard her do it. I've heard other people do it. Like, when she say it's time for me to go to sleep, she imagines what her next day, oh, I got to get up in the morning, I got to do it. Like, they, you go through this entire process. And so what I would say is challenge yourself to highlight all the positive things that you imagine, so that way you can see how great of an imagination you have. Because the reality of it is, you can say that you're going to go get a drink of water, but you don't really know what's going to happen along the pathway. When I'm walking to the kitchen, I could stub my toe, and I never thought that was going to happen because I didn't foresee it. So use your imagination to benefit you and show yourself how great you are at doing it. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, there was this thing on social media that I saw a few months ago that was talking about the levels of imaginative visualization. Like, it had like numbers 1 through 5, and it said, like, show the apple, how you can see a clear apple was number 5, and then number 1 was like maybe it's blurry, because some people were saying that, you know, they can't imagine. But to your point, like, memories are imagination, because a memory is not happening right now. Like, if you have that memory, if you remember anything, you're using imagination. Now, it might not look the same. Like, everybody's, the way they use their imagination might not be the exact same. It might not be very visual. It could be audible. It could be so many different things, but you have it. And I want to make sure that everybody knows that, like, if you can remember anything, you are imagining it, because it's not happening now. So you have to imagine it to have had it happen.
And I want to add to that again, because we're talking about expanding what you think, and we're really trying to hammer home how great, how powerful your mind is, number one. But just another example, and I don't want anybody to confuse this with anticipation, because anticipation is a part of this, but it's also imagination.
Yeah.
When you're in front of somebody, and the reason why I say anticipation, because you can feel like, because you've been around somebody already, you kind of know what they're going to do or what they're going to say. But you've been around somebody and they've been talking, and you thought that you could finish their words. You thought that you could and have been wrong. But in that split moment, when you're anticipating, not only anticipating, but imagining what they're going to say, seeing what their lips are going to say, that just shows you how powerful your imagination can be. Because there's been times, I know for myself, and people have done it to me, literally. This is the funny part. But it's been times where they were saying a word, and then my mouth started to say the word, and they said something completely different. But my mouth was moving like I imagined their mouth was going to move, and it's crazy. But you have a tool that has seen and experienced millions of things that you don't even recognize. And that engine is continuously pumping over and over again. So what you even think that you can imagine is less than what you really can imagine until you open yourself up to it. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. And I agree 100%. And another way, which is, it is different from that way of imagination, but it still allows you to expand, and I'm going to explain why. So one is letting go. And to give the basis, like, a lot of people say that it's hard to let go. They don't know how to let go. But if you're holding a 100-pound weight, you know what I mean? If you hold a 1,000-pound weight, it's very easy to let that go. If you're holding a 50-pound weight, it's you can still let it go with just as much ease, but you can probably hold it longer. If you hold a 2-pound weight, you might not want to let it go. You might like that weight. So I say this to say, imaginations or anticipations or, like, things that you have fear about are the same way. Like, you can let those go at any moment by just letting it go, just not even giving any mental capacity to it. You can think about something else. You can do something else. You can do something to occupy your time where you're not thinking good or bad. You're just kind of in the moment. And by doing that, you allow circumstances to happen. You allow circumstances to not be micromanaged, because you know how it feels to be micromanaged. When you're micromanaged, you don't want to do the work. You're like, why are you watching me? Why are you watching this? And sometimes when we want a certain outcome, we can be micromanaging reality. But by letting that go, things that most likely happen in the way that you want or better than you want. And then you can expand your mind, because you say, oh, I didn't know that was possible. I didn't even know that this can be done without me micromanaging the growth of a flower or whatever it is you're trying to do. And so just remember to let go. Like, when all else fails, let go.
So I want to add prayer into this, which some might consider to be meditation. And literally, you know, I had a deep conversation with my bros about this past week. And I kind of explained to them, you know, about me. At some point, I said, okay, I want to have 10 agents on my team, right? And I got it. It ended up happening to me, right? And I don't want to say that I did anything strenuous for it to happen besides be me and believe in I did never think that it wasn't going to happen. I'll say that, right? And so, you know, I set a new goal and I said, okay, 17. This is what I have in my mind. But the key to this is the pathway by which I was going to go about getting them. I got more specific in my prayer. This goes back to you being intentional in our meetings on Mondays or intentional in all things. So I thought to myself, okay, I said, okay, cool. I want 17 people to work with me, 17 partners, but what do they really look like? How did they really come? How do, like, I started to think about the details of what that truly consisted of, how they performed, you know, where they came from, what I had to do to recruit them. And I literally, and you can say, like I said, you can say it's meditation, you can say it's prayer. I specifically said a prayer tied to that, specifically. And lo and behold, this was what's funny about it. The very next day, somebody called me. Not that I recruited. Somebody that I spoke to before, but I never put any effort into recruiting them. And they called me and we went through the process and then they decided, I think I'm gonna rock with you, right? Now, the coolest part about it is, this is about expanding your mind. I never thought prior to that, even though I have all the evidence that says that if I say something and I allow it to be, it will happen, that if I was this specific in a prayer, that it would happen. And literally exactly the way that I prayed for it came true. And again, it's tricky here because I'm telling you that I did it. It's hard for you to believe that if you're that specific in a prayer that it can come to pass. It's that's that internal battle that you have with yourself over and over again. And so that's another part of the reason why people have limitations in their prayers or their meditations, because there is a curve on how far you think that prayer really can go, or you want to leave room for, I don't want to call it error, but you want to leave room for, well, it's going to come, or it's going to come later. It's just not going to be now. And so I challenge people in all things to be even more specific in your prayer or your meditation to the detail. And I've seen many people that I consider to be successful not talk about prayer, not talk about meditation, but talk about how detailed they were and vivid in imagining exactly the detail of everything that they wanted and how it came true. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, so, well, first, congrats on the 10 agents. Two quick questions. The first, before setting your goal for the next iteration of agents, did you celebrate just even internally or in some kind of way?
I always do it. And listen, every single time somebody trusted me to lead them, I do an internal jig. I don't really take a lot for myself, you know, but I literally, it kind of go back to when I told you I have a hurdle, and then I tell myself that it's not a hurdle, how I fall in love with myself again. Every single time I accomplish a part of my goal, I fall in love with myself to the point it's just a way for me to motivate myself to keep trusting and keep going.
So, second question, how do I ask this? So, okay, in the specification of prayer, right? Because I've heard that a lot. Always be specific. But again, have the intention without the expectation. But in this specificity, like what you said sounds like a lot of work to me. You're like, yeah, you got to have the agent, got to be like this and that. But then I thought about it from another standpoint. Like, let's say I was given an unlimited budget to design my dream home. that's not going to be a lot of work for me because it's more fun. So my question to you is, in you designing your agents or your practice like that, did it seem like work to you, or was it one of the easiest things to do?
So I'm going to show you how what they say, hindsight is 20/20. So number one, I'm going to tell you, to answer your question short, it's not a lot of work. And the reason why I say that is because it's only work if you already don't know what you want. But the reality of it is, you already know what you want. Once you, and again, this is just me. Once you've decided the path that you want to follow, you already know we talking about our imagination. So when I said I'm going to go get a cup of water, like it's my subconscious mind is running. So I literally know the pathway. I know I'm gonna get up from my computer. I'm gonna walk around my bed. I'm gonna go into the kitchen. I'm gonna go grab my cup. I'm gonna get the machine. I'm gonna pull the handle down. I'm gonna put I know what it looks like. Now, again, there are things that are gonna come up along the way that I maybe couldn't foresee, but generally the entire detail of it, I've already kind of felt. I've kind of lived it. And so when I decided that I wanted 10 agents, I also knew what I wanted the agents to do. I also knew how successful I wanted them to be. I also knew how many houses I wanted them to sell. I also knew how happy I wanted them to be. Like, these are things that I envisioned, because I never thought that I wanted to have 10 agents that were going to be mad every day. I never thought that, not one time. Now, I didn't have to verbalize that, because in my mind, I kind of already foresaw what I wanted it to be. And so because I did that, me not taking the time to really meditate on it, even though I already knew what it was, it ends up being more of a job in hindsight, because now I can look back and say, well, if that's what I really wanted, why didn't I ask for it? And so I think that when I was working at CarMax, I used to work at CarMax for 5 years, man. And my boss had a saying that was wrote up on the board, and he said, it takes double work to do something right the second time. And essentially he was saying, you already know what you want, just do it right the first time.
Yeah.
And you know, for me, again, it's not something that always hits, but when it hits, it hits, right? And so, you know, for me, I just, like I said, to answer it, it's not a lot of work, because I already knew. The problem was I didn't love myself enough to take the time to really think it through.
I love that. And it makes me think of the specificity of things. Like, sometimes, one, you got to be real with yourself. Like, do I even feel I'm worthy of this? Which is a different question in itself. But again, we are all worthy of all things. So it's important that we remember that, which is one of the basis of perfect mode. Just to remember, we are perfect and worthy of all. Like, there's nothing we aren't worthy of. And that's when crafting out my what I want, like, that's one of the first hurdles. It's like, okay, I want this, but can I get that? What does this mean? Does this mean this? Does this mean that? And to what it sounds like you're saying, and what I agree with, is don't worry about all that. Just focus on what you want. Don't get into what it looks like. Get into what it looks like for what you want it to look like. Don't get into what it could mean to others or any other things. Because I feel that's when we limit ourselves, and then we limit our prayer. And then it's like, why do we even pray? Because we don't believe it anyway.
So it's two things. Yeah. And that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, but two things about what you're saying. So I want to touch on worthy, and then I also want to touch on timing, right? Like, something, again, this is not for everybody, just for me, something feels like work when I don't feel like I have time for it. Like, when I used to actually go to a physical job, I didn't feel like I had time to sit in traffic. So that was the job. I didn't feel like I had time to be trying to learn a process or something that I didn't like. It was all about the amount of time that I had available to do the things that I wanted to do versus what I was doing. And so the reason why I bring time into it is because for something that I say that I want, I should have eternity. And that's just kind of how I feel. And, you know, if you have eternity, then it's no longer any work in it, because it's something that I would like to do, and it's going to bring me to love over and over again for forever. Now, again, I'm gonna go back to a customer that I have, right? Now, mind you, my job is to help people find houses or help people sell houses, right? That's a part of my career. That's what I do for a living. And I also will tout to you that I love to do it. And I tell you all the time, I love helping people find houses. You know, this is what I'm going to do. So I have a client who's 84 years old. Now, you would think that I'm over ecstatic that he's hired me to help him find a home. But he's also operating on a different timeline than I will, you know, not just me, but most people will want to operate with when you're trying to help somebody do something that you have experienced that it can happen faster, or you have seen it happen faster, or all of these different variables that come into play. So I have to reset myself and say, whenever I go to work with this person, I love my job. This is what I want to do. And every time I help somebody accomplish this, it brings me a level of love that I've been looking for. So I'm going to show you what I did just recently. I take this person to a house, and now I've reset my mind to realize that what am I in a rush for, right? And so literally I get to this house, and I walk around this house step by, I'm talking about when I say one foot in front of the other, and as slow as I possibly can walk around this house. And it probably takes me probably an hour and a half to walk around this whole house. Now, the reason why I do it is because he's looking at this house, and he's going to take his time looking at the house, which generally most people don't look at a house that long. But to reset myself, I said, you know what? What am I in a rush for? Because I'm just helping him along the way for me to get to what I want to get to. It's not about the money. It's about the joy, right? And so I take an hour and a half walking around this house, and by the time I'm done, he only has a little bit left. Now, here's the beautiful part of it. I'm not frustrated about time anymore. Now, number two, I know every detail of this house, which in turn makes my job even better or even easier. And it just changes the whole dynamic of it. And then eventually what ends up happening, he likes the house, we get it under contract, and now we're headed toward the finish line. But again, there's a shift in how I move, because I realize, what am I concerned with time about when this is what I want to do? Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. That time thing, that being in a rush is a good question to ask. Like, why are you in a hurry? Because if it's what you love to do, like, you should be in it. And I love that because you recognize that it's in something that you love to do. Like, I've done that plenty of times where in something that I say I love, I'm rushing. But why? Again, like, the all of the process is what you really want. This is what you rush to get to. And now you're trying to just breeze through it like it's everything else. What are you trying to get to rush back to, and for what? And these might not seem like good questions to ask yourself, but everyone should ask themselves these questions, because you'll be surprised to find out either you just had the habit of rushing, which is why you can never really be at peace as much as you would like, or you're doing something that you truly don't love, and now you're able to see so you can pivot into what you do love and expand what you think is possible in it.
And again, the question too is, if I'm in a rush, where is the time for me to expand? Like, where can I find that at? And so if I'm trying to be a aficionado in my business, why would I not want to look at every aspect of this house? Like, I want something that's going to set me apart from, like, these are things that I want, right? These are subconscious things that I have running inside of my head. And if I want to set myself apart from everybody that does what I want to do, being more informed is one of the ways. How can I be more informed if I'm in a rush? Because, again, based off of my own interpretation and my own rules and my own laws that I've set for myself, being more informed means taking more time. So I want to take more time. I want to be more informed. I want to be more helpful. I want more love. And see, again, something that we don't allow because there's a time constraint on us. And then the second part that I wanted to touch on was the worthiness. Like, and I know this is a whole conversation, but There is, if you don't feel worthy, there is no expansion. There have been plenty of times, fam, where, I put like this. I ain't gonna say there's no expansion, because sometimes expanding happens even when you don't feel worthy, so that way you can learn a lesson. But there have been plenty of times where I literally stopped and was like, okay, this is just God teaching me a lesson for me not to get such and such and such and such, right? And I've already deemed that there's no way for me to expand, and I've deemed myself unworthy. And then it happened, and then I questioned everything. I literally questioned everything at that point. And that was the check on myself to say, how could you limit yourself, and how did you make any determination for God, period, before the end of it? So, I love the fact that you said we are worthy of all things, because people have to recognize that and allow for expanding to happen. Because when you deem, again, sometimes it's going to happen anyway, but when you deem that you're not worthy of something, you don't open yourself up to expand at all. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, you made me think of something about time and love. Like, as you said, you wanted, more love. Time, in a way, is the opposite of love. And what I explained is, how I say this is, time is very limited. A lot of people believe that once time is gone, it's gone, you'll never get it back. But love is unlimited. Like, it's all encompassing. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. And so, like yesterday, Saturdays are my do whatever I want day. Like, no rules. I'm not following my regimens and certain stuff. It's a lot of flexibility for me on Saturdays. And so I kind of got consumed with a fun project that I wanted to do, and time flew by. Like, it was a great day, but it was one of the fastest days ever. Now, I'm still grateful for it. Like, I would not have it any other way, but it's just interesting to just see the dynamic between time and love. And I think as we focus on time, we do lose love, because we're like, oh, I'd rather have all this time, but if you're not enjoying it, what for? And the thing is, people might think, well, because you age with time. Not really. I think you age because of lack of love, versus, like, if you have love, you'd be as young as you feel all the time. So it's just interesting to look at the dynamic between love and time.
I want to throw this in there too. And again, one of those sayings that you hear all the time from people is, go after what you love, right? But again, there's, so number one, I'm in 100% agreeance with your description and determination of what time and love, and how they are polar opposites in the sense of each other. Like, I agree. Like, but I want to throw this in there as well. We tend to think that the things that we do in time, or we allow the things that we do in time to distract us from getting the love. And so I promote everybody, and I know it might sound weird, and I don't know how it sounds to people when I say I fall in love with myself over and over again. Like, I want everybody to understand that you should be falling in love with yourself over and over again. That's not anything that's conceited or self-absorbed. Like, you need to be falling in love with yourself over and over again. But I like using exercise as the example, bro. I told you before we started the show, the last time I told myself in January, at the end of January, I was going to start doing 100 push-ups a day, minimal. And I started doing it, and I haven't missed a day. Like I said, some days I do 100, sometimes I do 150, sometimes I might do 200. It just depends on how I feel that day. But here's the deal that happens every single day. Every day, I have an internal battle with myself, right? Should I do these push-ups today, or should I not? Now, I highlighted by saying it's something that I said I wanted for myself in the beginning, right? And then something that I wanted for myself in the beginning, there's an internal battle every single day about whether I want to get what I wanted for myself. But every day that I get what I wanted for myself, I fall in love with myself again. And the reason why I point that out is that, number one, when you expand your mind to what you can have, every single time you accomplish it, every single time you see it, you're going to fall in love with yourself. Every single day that I tell myself that I can't do it or it's hard and I complete it, there's an amount of joy that I feel. It's not even about the outcome of my body. It's just the simple fact that I've set and expanded what I thought that I could do for myself and I do it. It's the same thing when we come off of a fast. When we were at the end of our fast this last time, you told me time changed, so I needed another hour. I told you, thank you for telling me that, because I don't know how I would have been able to deal with me ending before I got to my goal. But the fact that I got to my goal, I was elated in joy. I was in love with myself again. And the reality again that I'm pointing out is, number one, you trust that whatever you expanded yourself to, that you can get to, no matter what. And then don't allow the pursuit of that to dictate anything. And even so, in the process, and this is the part that I have left out to this point specifically, you can start to fall in love with yourself along in the process of you getting to the ultimate love that you're trying to get to. Because in me doing push-ups every day, every time I push up, I can see my arms bulging. And I'm like, dang, I can't believe I got to this point. I can feel my chest bulging. Dang. Or when we're in a fast, man, I can't believe that I feel so energetic. And so you start to fall in love with things along the way that makes the love for falling in love with you even greater. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. I forgot what I was about to say.
My bad, man.
No, you good. So in that, one of the things, oh yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Okay, I'll bring it back to the fast. Fasting, water fasting is, or just fasting period from anything, is a way to find that love again, to fall in love with yourself again. And the reason being that I've noticed is the last four day fast we did, that fourth day, it was new territory to me. And it was a little different. I didn't know what to expect or anything, but I didn't want to have any expectations for it. But I would, even though I wanted to eat, I would kind of go into these little projects or these little activities or these little curiosities that I followed. And then I will follow it to his end and I'll look up, another few hours passed. But it was like it was a fun, quick hours, like time flew by. So it was like, oh, my fast is almost done. Yes, I could eat right now, but I still got six more hours. What's next? And then I went into another thing. And these weren't, some could say what I was doing was work, but it wasn't considered, because the stuff that I had to do as work, I didn't want to do it, especially in that state, because I just didn't find it fun at that particular time. And so I say that to again, anybody considering, you know, just trying it out tomorrow, doing the 24-hour fast, it's a good way to really hone in on what you love and what you don't love and just getting back into that space.
Yeah, no, I 100% co-sign that, man. And again, that's just one of those things that that's one thing that I love about the fast when we talk about time. When you are not mentally, when you don't approach it with the intentions that you need, the only thing you could think about during the fast is time going by. Like you just want the time. I can't wait till. And the only reason I feel like there's opportunity for you expanding yourself like you did is because at some point you stop saying, I can't wait till, and then you start paying attention to now. And then you say, well, now I can do this. Now I can do this. And now time is no longer a factor in anything that you're doing until you stop, of course, when you recognize, dang, an hour went by. Like I didn't even realize that. And you know, one of the sayings that we've been hearing since we were kids, time flies when you're having fun, because time is not even an issue anymore. And so to me, I think that in those moments, you fell in love with yourself. And you were in love with your life and you were in love with the activity of now, which in turn made something that you were headed toward come sooner because you weren't so occupied with the time of it. So, man, yeah, I mean, I love that you pointed that out. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, time does fly when you're having fun. And when you're focused on time, it is not. I'll never forget when I was in third grade, I think, third, fourth, one of them grades, Mortal Kombat came out, man, and I was in school, got the disc in my hand from somebody at school. Not the disc, the cartridge, whatever was out. The longest day, like I can't stress how long that was. And I probably lived 10 years in that one day because I was focused on time. I didn't know not to focus on time. I didn't know to just find a way to have fun in school. I know that's crazy, right? But It's just one of those reminders, because you can have fun in every situation, even situations you don't want to be in. Like, definitely expand your mind on that and try it out. Like, if you're in a boring situation, ask yourself, what can I do to make this fun? And whatever ideas you get, I say explore it, go with it, and watch how not only does time fly, but it also expand your reality of what's possible and what does it mean too. Because you might say, well, I can't do that. That means this. Not necessarily. Try it out.
Yeah, man. Look, I used an example again earlier about in real estate deals, how sometimes just the way things start, I've already dictated how it's going to end. And I immediately identify and I start to change my mind because I've recognized that I can't think that way. And the moment when I do that, my mind starts to be flooded with opportunity. It starts to be flooded with idea. It starts to be open to imagination. And so I bring that up to, oh, go ahead, Jay.
No, I just thought about something in that when you said, like, you dictate the way it ends. Okay, how do I say this? A lot of people don't like endings that much, unless it's something that they don't want. But when you dictate the way it ends, it's almost like that. That's how I talk my way out of stuff, almost. Like, if I think about the ending, well, I do it. I know how it's going to end. I don't want to do that. But when you think about the beingness that you could be in when doing it, it makes a big difference.
Yo, I'm going to give you the prime example, and I know we got to wrap up. I'm a big, big, big basketball fan. Like, I love watching. You know, I'm the biggest LeBron fan.
Yeah.
And if you know anything living in my house, I won't stop myself from doing anything when the game is on. I try to be home when the games are on. But if the game is on and we have to go somewhere, I'll go do it. But I literally won't turn on, you know, I turn off notifications on my phone. I don't want nobody to tell me about the game because I want to go home and watch it like it's on now. But if I see the outcome of the game, win or lose, I probably won't watch the game because there is joy in the journey. There is joy in the rise and the fall of it all. And that's, again, why I point out, even doing push-ups along the journey, as much as I can tell you I didn't like or it's hard, there are things that happen while I'm doing push-ups that I appreciate more than I could ever even explain. Same thing when it comes to running. And you start to run, when you start running long, there's things in the run that you start to appreciate. And, you know, some people call it falling in love with the process. Because if you fall in love with the process, then you get to have love all the way through. But the only way you do that is expanding yourself to believe that it's possible. But Jay, you can go ahead and I know we got might have some stuff we want to hit before we get out of here, man.
Yeah, I do want to kind of just in wrapping this up and just kind of summarize how to expand what you think is possible. So I can't remember everything. Well, I know one, let go, definitely. Focus on the state of being, like really be in it. And but I feel like we're missing the big one.
Use
the first one.
Use your identify, then use your imagination.
Yes.
Use your imagination. Like allow your imagination to be real. That's what I'll say. Because sometimes we try to act like the imagination can't be. Allow your imagination to be real. And that's what I told my son this morning. So yeah, allow your imagination to be real and just keep going. Don't stop. Yeah,
exactly. So I want to say again, like, appreciate everybody rocking with us. Remember, join our fasting community if you want to try it out. Even if you want to try it out for a couple of hours, 3 hours, you can go 3 hours. And if you can do three, you can do six. If you can do six, you can do nine. Next thing you know, it's bedtime. Then you wake up like, oh, I can do this. So I would definitely say consider doing those fasting Mondays where you can just kind of get back into that mode. And join our Patreon, man. Like, join, like, right now, you can leave this live right now and click on our Patreon and check it out and support your boys. And yeah, man, you got anything you want to say before we close
just,
it out?
Just, man, we love y'all. We're grateful for y'all. Without y'all, we wouldn't be here. We'd be doing something, but we definitely wouldn't be here. So we appreciate y'all. Again, you know, Jay, you can take us out, baby.
Yeah, and hit that share button, like button, subscribe, all that. And remember, you're a perfect creation made by a perfect creator. So you might as well accept your perfection and enter perfect mode.
If I reminded you that you are perfect, would you argue me down or step into your perfection? Welcome to perfect mode, where there are no excuses, no expectations, and we explore the world without limitations. I'm Jay Clay, rapper, the spiritual teacher, with my co-host Troy Washington, your friendly neighborhood realtor. Let's be real. So let's be perfect.
Perfect.
Everything, anything.